This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Really looking forward to visiting with Peter King today. It's our Tuesday chat with Peter because he knows Herm Edwards. And the Herm Edwards story is, this person is of influence at Arizona State or around Arizona State. He said, when spring football starts, usually the new coach has like 3 years. When spring football lasts, he'll have about 15 minutes and then everybody's going to make opinions, which is a pretty good way to put it. The anger and the angst over the hiring and just the last week. We're going to take a big, deep breath. Not live in 120 or 220 characters, but just take a big, deep breath and look at the last 8 days now. What do you see? If you go to the last 10 days, because you see it through a different lens, the last 10 days, what do you see? 10 days ago, Arizona State whooped up on U of A, beat them soundly. Since then, you haven't heard one word about that game, which usually is the focal point for, like, 99% of the audience. And so that game didn't mean a darn thing. Ray Anderson fires Todd. By the way, Todd's going to be fine. I'm going to write about this today. I think Todd's going to end up in the NFL. That's just my own thought. Not as a head coach, but at least for now. And I could be wrong on that. I've taken the stance that in Ray we trust, and even Jordan came into it. Eric, did you hear Jordan kind of beat me up today on this deal when we were in the bullpen? We very seldom do show meetings. For whatever reason, Tuesdays we all get together because we're all working on the TV show and all that stuff. Did you hear Jordan take a shot at me today?
No, I didn't. Over what?
He it's very disappointing in Jordan. So he said that he was going to put on Twitter my column and Ray We Trust, and it was something along the lines of he was going to put on Twitter, "This is something I never thought I'd see out of Brad." Do I just come across?
I don't think Jordan said that. I think Jason Jewell was the one that said
no,
that.
No, Jason Jewell said somebody else said Brad's been smoking the peace pipe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, wow. You've been picked on today.
It happens. Am I really that far off base?
Yes.
Okay. And tell me how. Fill me in here.
Let's see.
Fill me in.
Where should I start?
Do you want to read it?
I guess I'll pick it apart line by line? No, I guess I'll just start with this.
Yeah.
UCLA hired Chip Kelly.
Okay.
ASU hired Herm Edwards.
Right.
I rest my case.
So in Ray, I trust.
The whole thing, Brad, is so confusing. The hiring, how it hired, no other interviews, having his agent come out to speak yesterday, the fact that Herm Edwards called Darren Woodson Rod Woodson. The strange email that all the media got at 9:12 on a Sunday night, not from the ASU media relations, but from someone higher up at Arizona State talking about how they're restructuring everything and it's going to be like a pro NFL style model. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to wrap your brain around. And you said yesterday, well, yeah, that's the way it works with Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. Yeah, well, those two coaches have won a lot of college football games. Herm Edwards, as a college head coach, has won zero games.
I agree with you on that. But this is about Ray Anderson.
It is.
This is my thing is about Ray Anderson.
Whose former client happened to be Herm Edwards.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Really?
No. Why should it? I've seen cronyism and nepotism with agents, with Jeff Morad and with Lon Babbie. But Jeff Morad and Lon Babbie didn't have the resume and the respect that I've gotten out of people when I mentioned Ray Anderson's name. Now, there's some people that were in the NFL alongside of Ray that weren't big fans. That happens.
It was an unconventional hire, which I think is fine.
Yes.
But I don't think ASU is quite on the cusp of becoming this elite college football program. I think if you hired a Kevin Sumlin or if you hired a Charlie Strong or you hired someone who has strong recruiting ties, they might be able to get up to that point quicker than with Herm Edwards.
But is this an indictment of Ray Anderson? My column was not Herm Edwards' great hire. It's like I never once wrote Todd Graham should be fired. Never once wrote that. But it was very clear, just in public settings and things going on, Todd was going to be fired. This was done a long time ago. My whole stance, E, has been about Ray Anderson. I am trusting him to make the right move and the right decision. Did he make the right move in hiring Bobby Hurley? The answer to that would be yes. And yet there were some people that said, oh, he's just a coach from Buffalo. What's he done at Buffalo? And did you see his track record and, you know, the horse thing and his financial troubles and, you know, just nonsense. Just stop. Can he coach basketball? And if the assistant coaches, the linchpin on all this for me, whether it's going to work or not, short term. Because assistant coaches leave. Like, there's going to be this big blaring, blazing high headline at some point. Napier leaves for head coach of something. Yeah, you want your coordinators to be good enough to be considered head coaches. So when people are in this space of, if he loses the assistant coaches, then it's just a total failure. Short time, you're right. If Napier leaves now, Napier more than Phil Bennett, to me. Defensive coaches, and I had somebody this morning of influence that I was talking to on the way up to work, and he said, you know, if a coordinator leaves now, does Herm have the network on the college level, or is he just going to bring in guys that he's familiar with on the NFL? And it's a very fair point. We don't know. Again, it goes back to, well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? If you play the what if game, you're going to be laying in bed watching the ceiling fan spin around all night long. What if? What if? What if? If you don't swing for the fences within rational, reasonable terms, which I think where most of you are, I think that's where you are, Eric. They could have gone out and gotten Chip Kelly or Kevin Sumlin. I don't know if they could have, but that would be the more comfortable, traditional way to go. The fact that there's been turbulence just in the last 48 hours, some of the optics yesterday at the press conference were very uncomfortable for me to watch. But I have said I believe in what Ray Anderson is doing. Ray Anderson convinced Bob Bowman to come here and do swimming. Bob Bowman's the best at what he can do. Ray Anderson, right now, Tracy Smith, that's a big question mark. Big question mark. I got it. But the football coach is at a different level, and Bob and Ray, in my mind, clearly has hit a home run with Bobby Hurley that it's going to be tough to keep Bobby here. That's what you want. With that said, so here is Herm Edwards on yesterday, still familiar with the game. Those that have said the game has passed him by, 63 years of age, he hasn't been on the side. I've heard that narrative all day long. So here is Herm, and then I'll have some thoughts on the other side.
And when you sit where I sit, see, this is what people don't realize. When you sit at ESPN, I'm not just watching professional football. I'm actually watching college football. That is our farm league. When I'm invited to go to Alabama, and when I'm invited to go to Michigan and these places where I've talked to the teams and visited with coaches, and I see the innovation. I sit down there. I'm always constantly learning. So that's not a problem for me. The thing we have to realize now is there's so much innovation and there's so much change is how do players learn? That's the critical part for me. How do we teach players better, especially in college? Because they're student athletes first. They're not professional football players. They're student athletes first. Well, how do we teach them in the time restraints that we have with them? And this is why I think where we are now with the ability to get information quickly. You know, this is the new generation. They process information very quickly. And, you know, they multitask. Their brain multitasks. I know that because I coach Under Armour All-American game every year for the last 8 years. Some pretty good players down there, by the way.
Okay. So a few things there. I agree with that. This isn't Rex Ryan, who is a total clown show. Let's just be honest on this. When Rex Ryan, if this is Rex Ryan saying, well, I sit at ESPN, Rex Ryan was a clown. So I don't put any stock in certain guys. There were name guys that have sat and have been name guys that have sat on the desk at ESPN or CBS or any network that there's not a chance that I would ever want them to be a head coach. Not a chance. And I think in Ray's case, his point, I believe, is valid. And if you don't think that coaching the Under Armour game is anything other than him showing up and wearing some Under Armours, then I think you're mistaken. Talked to some people about that yesterday. So you've got to give him some leash here. You've got to give him some credit here. Should not be an instantaneous, this is a terrible move. And we're going to go through this exercise all the way until the Michigan State game next September. He's the coach. He's not going anywhere. What is going to happen in the next 19 days? He's going to go to ESPN. He's going to be on the desk. He's going to say, go Devils. And he's going to be out of there by Saturday night. And in the next, up until, what will that be? Saturday will be the 9th. He'll have 11 days, or the 8th. He'll have 11 days to go get his recruiting class together for the early signing period. Early signing period is December 20th. I am not one of those guys that cares how many 4- and 5-star guys you get. Ray Anderson said that he is. We differ on that. I've seen plenty of 4- and 5-star guys that are not good football players at all. The star system is just a way for recruiting sites to make money for the most part, and fans get all excited. But I've seen plenty of 2-, 3-, 0-stars. For every guy that comes in with 5 stars, there's Isaiah Oliver, who was at Brophy, who's now Colorado, who nobody offered, not Arizona State, not Arizona. He's turning pro. He's leaving college early. He's going to be a high draft pick. Happens all the time. So don't give me 5- and 4-stars as your only metric. Peter King is going to be with us next. And I want to talk to Peter about Herm. If he's got anything new on Bruce Arians' future, the Titans rolling into town, and the garbage football last night that was the Steelers and Bengals, all with Peter King. He'll Skype in next, the MMQB Monday morning quarterback, Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to visit with Peter King. We do so every week. It's always great to catch up with Peter, MMQB.com, the Monday morning quarterback. Check out the MMQB podcast with Peter King. It drops often and often every time with great stuff. I hate to start out being the downer on a Tuesday, but Steelers-Bengals last night was nothing more than a street fight or just bad football. I'm curious, how would you sum up what we saw on the field last night?
Dangerous, reckless. Brad, I think that, last night after the game, Ben Roethlisberger on the field with ESPN said, Lisa Salters, I think, was asked about the chippiness of the game, and that's putting it nicely. And he said, hey, that's AFC North football. No, it isn't. If it is AFC North football, then the AFC North shouldn't exist anymore. Mm. They ought to be expelled from the NFL. When a player, Juju Smith-Schuster, basically knocks out a player on the other team and stands over him like he just won a street fight and is taunting him. That's the epitome of disgusting. And multiply that times three how disgusting it was when the leader of his defense, Ryan Shazier, is laying in a hospital in Cincinnati and nobody really knowing at that moment if he's ever going to walk again. Mm. What kind of human beings are we really when you see things like that? Part of it, you want to say, well, he's just a kid. He's learning. He's 21 years old. Well, okay. Maybe he is just a kid. And I guess he is, but that made me want to throw up. And so, Brad, I think, in my opinion, I think the people in the game, mm-hmm. the players in the game, you can make all the rules you want. You can talk about suspensions. You do whatever you want. But in essence, at the end of the day, the players have to police themselves. And if the players aren't going to police themselves, you're going to have, reckless, horrible football that parents across the country are going to watch, and they're going to shudder, and they're going to say, my kid is never playing tackle football. Mm. And I'm not saying that football is going to go away. I don't think it is. I think football is going to exist, but there's going to be a lot fewer parents. I talked this morning, I was texting with the wife of a former NFL player, mm-hmm. who basically was talking to me about how she was tormented about whether to let their kids play football, period. They have a son now who's playing flag, and they and her husband's the same way. They don't want him to play football. This is what games like that mm-hmm. are going to do to the future of this sport.
You're visiting with someone who has a seventh grader. He's 13. He's going to be bigger than me. You've seen me in person. And he played flag for the first time, and he's got coaches at high schools all over him to play. And there's not a chance right now that I would have him do it. He's playing water polo, and he's playing basketball, and that's it. And I'm not alone on that. It's a tough deal, especially last night. Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback. Peter, I'm curious, what are we getting in Herm Edwards out here? You covered Herm through the years, I'm sure, and know him well. What are we getting here at Arizona State? There's been a lot of backlash, and I'm putting that mildly towards the hire. What are we getting in the guy and the coach?
Well, I think you're getting a guy who, I'm sure that you've seen this. He's a fire and brimstone guy who... I think has really missed coaching football, and I think he really wants to desperately coach football again. And so none of what he's saying is an act. This is really him. You know, he's a modern day Dick Vermeil. Mm. And for those who don't remember Dick, he just loved football. He lived it. He breathed it. He was corny. He was hokey. And Herm a lot of times is that way. And I understand people, are skeptical of this. But look, I'm not there.
Right.
Brad, I don't know. And I don't really follow college football. But, you know, Arizona State has been a mediocre program for a long, long time. And, you know, you just say, well, let's try something different. It's like what Jimmy Haslam said when he hired Paul DePodesta. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's try analytics. Let's see what happens. Maybe there's something we can gain from this. Maybe there isn't. But let's try something different rather than trying the same thing year after year after year. And so I can't tell you right now whether Herman Edwards is going to be able to come up with a scheme on defense to confound Chip Kelly and UCLA. I don't know that.
Right.
And I think that what will be interesting to watch, okay, is I happen to think Herman Edwards is going to be a great recruiter, okay? Because you need to have this enthusiasm, this drive, and parents need to see that you're going to take care of their son. And that is so much a part of the college game, the recruiting process, and also parents believing in the coach. And that, to me, I mean, look, it's let's see what happens over like a 3-year period.
Right.
But this is going to be a gigantic advantage, in my opinion, for Arizona State, because parents are going to say to kids, man, I love that guy.
Yep.
Why don't you choose him? So, you know, we'll see.
Bruce Arians' future. You have a thought on that, Peter? I know we're coming towards the end of this year, and it's going to be addressed at some point. Fitz and Carson and Bruce were all tied at the hip at the start of the year. Do you think Bruce Arians is back? Do you think he's contemplating his return, or is he so far in? Have you visited with him? Do you have some insight? Do you have just a thought?
I really don't have any insight other than, you know, when I was in training camp, he made it extraordinarily clear that he's not walking away, that he wants to coach multiple years. Now, again, that's easy to say in July or early August whenever I was there.
Right.
So I don't know. I've not asked him the question this year, but I get the feeling he'd like to return and do it again, especially after his cancer scare, and now he's cancer free. But I think there's one thing that you have to get clear, okay? And that is, this team has to start preparing for 2019, 20, and 21, okay? And in so doing, you're going to have to pick one of these quarterbacks this year, or you're going to have to go out and get whoever, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, pick a guy. You know, you got to go find a quarterback of the future, whoever that is. I am sort of on record, and I believe that I'd like to see Carson Palmer stay around one more year to train his eventual replacement, if it's that way. Now, if they go out and get an established veteran, then you don't need Palmer. Mm-hmm. But I think Palmer, I remember a couple of years ago when I did this story, A Week in the Life of a Quarterback. I mean, he is so conscientious and so into the little tiny things of being a really good quarterback. I'll tell you, let's say the Cardinals take Baker Mayfield, let's just say, in the first round.
Sure.
I want Baker Mayfield to soak up everything that Carson Palmer has to offer for 9 months, period. I want Baker Mayfield not just to learn from his coaches, but to learn from somebody who's been through the battles and who can teach him how to be an NFL quarterback. That's just the way I would look at the future. So part of that is, you know, Bruce Arians, assuming he comes back, is going to have to sort of buy into the fact that, oh, yeah, we want to win today desperately. But we also have to be smart about preparing for life after me.
Before you get out of here, do you have a quick thought on Tennessee coming in this weekend? Titans have had a very good season. Titans are here against the Cardinals on Sunday. You have a thought on Tennessee, Peter?
You know, a couple of things. I like the youth on their defense. I love Jarrell Casey. He's going to be hard to block, in the middle of that line. I love Adoree Jackson, who I'm sure that everybody in Phoenix got to know when he was in the Pac-12. So I think there's some really interesting young players, but it's just me.
Sure.
But I think they had hoped that Marcus Mariota would have been a little bit further along to being a consistent two-way quarterback. He's been good, but he's not been outstanding. You know what's interesting, Brad? On a weekend basically, you've got the top two quarterbacks from 2016, Goff and Wentz, meeting, in Los Angeles, and I think meeting for the first time.
Right.
You've got some major questions about Jameis Winston,
mm-hmm.
and just some questions. I don't think major. I still am very bullish on Mariota, but. You know, this is year three for those guys. And you don't see, I would have thought at the end of year three, there's a good chance that both of them would be top 10 quarterbacks. I don't think either one of them is a top 10 quarterback.
Really good stuff there, Peter. As always, have a great week. Thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, via Skype, mmqb.com, the MMQB podcast. With Peter King, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So there's so much more to get into. Just even as the show's progressing, I'm getting texts from boosters, sponsors, all that about ASU and what is it that they see and the whole football situation. And we've ranted, we've raved, we've let others get involved in the conversation, we've written stuff, and I think today is a day of just take a breath, kind of look at everything, big broad picture, where it's going. If you hate it today on the 5th day of December, where are you going to be at on March 5th when it's spring football? Where are you going to be on July 5th when summer's almost over and you're starting to look towards the start of the college football season? Where are you going to be on September 5th? We're going to be on this whole deal. I'm getting a lot of hate the move, supporting the Sun Devils. Hate the move, support the Sun Devils. So we'll get back into that in a minute. GCU tonight. Tonight's a big night for college basketball. And I think it's kind of gotten, not think it has, it's gotten lost in the shuffle with everything that's gone on around Arizona State. And that is, a doubleheader is tonight in downtown Phoenix. I don't know how many fans are going to show up to watch U of A against Texas A&M tonight. The fact that the Wildcats have not been very good so far this season, the fact that they've really struggled, to me, the struggle is part of the journey. I think they're getting better. I thought they looked better in certain facets against UNLV the other night. They're trying to figure out how to take a big like DeAndre Ayton, who's only going to be there for 5 months, 6 months, whatever, and then he'll turn pro. They're trying to figure out how to fit him in. On the other side of it is, you can't just fit him in. You feed him the ball every time or every other time. That's what you need to do. He has been so good. In GCU's side, they have St. John's tonight. That's the late game tonight. I think that's a 9 o'clock tip tonight. It's a late tip. GCU, St. John's. Yeah, the Havocs, what will they, how many Havocs are going to show up in downtown Phoenix at Talking Stick Resort tonight? This game is not on the campus of GCU. So are they going to bring 5,000, 8,000? I'm pretty certain Brian Mueller wants to see a lot of people there. We'll have talk to the Lopes tomorrow to rehash this and go through it. They're playing St. John's. And St. John's right now, the Johnnies do not have their best player. Their guard is out with a sprained knee. And Marcus Levitt, he didn't even make the trip out west, so he probably isn't going to play against Arizona State over in Los Angeles on Friday night. So St. John's has GCU tonight, and then they play the Sun Devils on Friday over in L.A. Couple of big games for St. John's here in our great state. I like it. I like seeing a team from the East Coast comes here. It means there's going to be some exposure back on the East Coast for these programs. You can be certain there'll be a Bobby Hurley story showing up in the New York Post or the New York Daily News or some of the outlets back there, which is good for the program. I think for Sean Miller's team, there's P. I was sitting next to a guy at the Cardinals game the other day, longtime observer in the press box. He turns to me and he says, I hate Sean Miller. I just don't like Sean Miller. I don't like anything he's about. Look, I'm not big on how Sean tries to control his program and not making players available and getting snippy and snotty and all that stuff. And every year they get eliminated before they get to the Final Four. And they have not won a championship since he's been there. But to think that Sean Miller's not a good coach in certain facets, I think is just, I don't know. I admire the fact that he's trying to work through. This would be one of his greatest coaching jobs ever if he gets this thing turned around. And let's say they do have a deep run in March. It is the first week of December. They are trying to fit in some parts. So tonight you've got GCU and you have U of A both in downtown Phoenix, and that's good stuff. On the Herm Edwards deal, there's another angle. There's tons of angles. Like the TV show, we're going to shoot the TV show after we're done with this show. That's what we do. We do our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona every Tuesday. We tape it, put it together. It airs Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. 16 airings. You can check it out starting tonight after the Suns game against Toronto. And I'm sitting here going through some notes. I just write out some things I want to get into and rail about or say, you know, tap the brakes. And in the 25 years that I've been here, this is the most passionate, one way or another, that the people that call themselves fans, the boosters, the sponsors, have ever been about, not my sponsors, our sponsors, but sponsors around ASU that spend money there. They are just like, what is exactly going on here? Now, I have said, in Ray I trust, I'm going to sit on that one. I'm not going to live and die by it. I'm not going to die by it because they're going to be fine. They are. In my view, they're going to be fine. I'm very confident on that. So keeping the assistant coaches is this theme that people have latched onto. Like, this is the end all if assistant coaches leave. During Todd Graham's era, he kept Mike Norvell here. Mike Norvell and Todd Graham started to see things differently. I think Mike Norvell started to grow into his own skin of being a head football coach and by the end wanted out of here to go do his own thing. He was ready. It happens. You get mentored, and at some point you need to get away from the mentor and you need to go do it yourself. And I think that's really what happened with Norvell. There were some other coaches that came that weren't equipped, some coaches that just used this as a stepping stone, some coaches that were not positive towards Todd Graham on social media and ripped the program going out the door. So Herm was asked yesterday about the status of the assistant coaches presently here on staff.
Coaches that have already been retained, and they're you know, people want to phrase it this way, they're his coaches. No, they're not. They're football coaches. They're good football coaches. They're good football coaches. But you say, well, no, I don't want you because you're a football coach. When I turn the tape on and watch your player play, what are you doing to help this guy? That's what I want to know. Can you make this guy a better football player? You can't give him talent. But fundamentally and mentally, is he a better football player because he played under your watch? That's all I want to know. Can you develop the players that we have here? That's all I care about. That is my main goal. As far as administration goes with Dr. Crow and Ray, there's constant communication. Like Ray said, this is like a little bit of an NFL model. When you're the head coach, you're always talking to ownership. You're always talking to the GM. It's constant. It is constant. There is a link between those three.
Okay, so on that vein, Ray's coming from television right now. He's coached the Under Armour game every year. Some of you don't think that means a hill of beans. I think you're wrong.
You mean Herb. You said Ray, but I know what you mean.
Herm.
Yeah.
Herm.
You said Ray, but that's okay.
Did I?
You did.
I'm just done. Okay. Fire me. So did I say Woodson, Rod Woodson?
You did not say Rod Woodson.
Oh, was Rod Woodson used yesterday?
Rod Woodson was used yesterday.
He wasn't there, though, was he?
He was not, but Darren Woodson
Woodson was there.
The same person who usually sits on a couch right next
was
to
Charles Woodson there?
Charles Woodson was not there.
Charles Woodson was not
no.
there. Okay, so Herm.
Mm-hmm.
Herm is in the same space coming from television. Essentially, Herm walks in to do TV, and he sits down on the set, and there's an executive producer. And there's people that are running cameras, and there's people that are writers, and there's people that are handling audio, and there's people that are handling video. It is no different. If you think it's different, it's not. It's a business. It's the business of developing. That's what he's into, human development around football, teaching proper technique. Is Ray hired a guy in Herm that has forgotten how to do that? I don't think so. When Herm is sitting on the set tomorrow, as he's been doing the last 8 years, do you think he's just, and there are guys that do it, they're given a sheet of paper. Given a sheet of paper just like this. It's called a shot sheet. Shot number one, cheap shot, Vontaze Burfict laid out, Juju Schuster. Shot number two, and that's all it is. It's just a bunch of shots that are coming up. That's it. There are other guys that have their notes. Vontaze Burfict has dealt out a lot of cheap shots himself. Vontaze Burfict at Arizona State, Vontaze Burfict this, Vontaze. And all of that is there, or it's up here. I've worked with both guys, worked with both sides on that. Guys that don't have it up here, they've got to see it here. I've worked with guys that have a blank sheet of paper that have walked in, that have picked up a press release, and they go on the air. And like I just did about a minute and a half ago, I called him Ray rather than Herm. They have no idea. Happens. So I'm of the mindset that Ray just didn't wake up an idiot. I know it's hard for some of you to believe. Ray didn't wake up an idiot a week ago. No, he didn't. So that is why I am on the In Ray We Trust. I'm not going to go jump on the train or the bandwagon because I'm not supposed to do that. It's my own rule. I'm not going to sit here and cheer one way or the other. I don't care. If they go 3-8, they go 3-8. I was wrong. If they go 8-3, they go 8-3, and I'm pretty much right. The bar that was set was interesting. There should never be another plane ticket bought under Arizona State money for a bowl game in El Paso or Las Vegas or San Francisco. There should never be one of those. And if it does happen, maybe 10 years from now, the off chance you have that year where you go with 6 wins, it does happen occasionally, but it shouldn't happen for the last 20 years. Remember when they had the Freedom Bowl? I mean, if you go back and you look at Arizona State's bowls that they've been to, for the most part, since Jake, it's bowls that you should never aspire. Going to the Aloha Bowl is not a reward. you get to go to Hawaii, you get to play on Christmas Day. That all sounds good back in the day. Doesn't work now. So I think the whole thing on retaining assistant coaches, if you keep these guys for too long, it means you don't have coaches that other schools desire. Now, eventually, I think this is where Eric and I disagree. Eventually, you want this to be an Alabama or an Ohio State destination. It's no different than you want to have the best teachers at the business school. You don't want those teachers to leave to go to another program. It's no different. But in the space of Arizona State, if you're able to collect things and get people together and have that staff together for a certain amount of time, like Mike Norvell, where it was time to move on to be a head coach, that's what you want out of Billy Napier, unless, and this is my theory, unless you really believe that Billy Napier is a guy that you could develop in the next couple of years, and then your CEO, your GM is Herm Edwards. Lots of different ways to look at this. It's not black and white. It just isn't. On the other side, the building that wouldn't come down, take two, we'll explain after this timeout. Couple of things before we get out of here today. And the Suns last night won. It's a good win for them. They beat the 76ers, a team that is better than the Suns, as we predicted like 3-4 years ago on the show. Once Jerry and Brian Colangelo got involved, it was only a matter of time before the Sixers passed the Suns by a long ways. But a nice win on the road for the Suns nonetheless last night. We're not going to sit here and ignore it. Devin Booker had a big night offensively, as he should. The last story of the day that caught my eye was this. The Pontiac Silverdome, which was a dump and a half. I don't know. Eric, do you ever go out to Pontiac? So
no, huh?
Yeah, it was a dump. They tried to blow it up last week. This is over on ABC 15. We thank them. They tried to blow it up last week, and it didn't happen.
Oh, this looks better.
Yeah, no, it looked like it worked. They put like the charges in the right spot. So here's where I'm at on this. You can keep it up there a while, Jared, if you want to show it again. When are we going to have this here in Phoenix? Have we had a demolition yet of a stadium? So like Manzanita Raceway, they closed it down, if we remember Manzanita Raceway.
I don't remember any sort of demolition.
Like Veterans Memorial went down.
Did it?
It didn't. It went down in terms of being used.
Right.
In terms of being used.
But they still use it for concerts or on the fair.
Yeah, no, they run the fair there. So the Coliseum is still there. The Suns did a thing there like 2 years ago.
Right. They have trade shows there, I think.
Or, yeah, book fairs, yeah. Whatever. So we have not had one of these yet. This will be fun. We have to have one of these. We're here in downtown Phoenix. Eric, what do you see?
We don't have things that are destroyed. We just have things that are rebuilt.
Can you put this back to the beginning? Just because I want to see it. It's fine. Do it on the air. Jordan, where are you? Brad, I'm on the south side. 3, 2, 1. So this is what we need to have. We need to have an explosion party here. I don't know what building is going to go down first. Guy was in Glendale the other day. Look at how cool that is. Right? So we haven't had one here. And they're redoing Sun Devil. So Sun Devil's out. You know, Robert wants to get either improvements or a new building. I think he wants a new building. Wells Fargo Arena, that's a dump. That needs to go be taken down. I don't know if you need to blow it up or just to refab, but it's not working. It just needs to be fixed or tear it down. Where the Coyotes are, Glendale, that's not going away. The Cardinal Stadium, that's not going away anytime soon. But look, in my lifetime, I'm on the back nine, probably on the 11th hole, 10th hole, depending on how I'm feeling that day. I'd like to see a building blown up here for purposes of building a new one. Let me be clear on that. I just want to see a demolition of a building because we have a new one in place. And having gone to the Silver Dome a few times, that place, that was a dump, and it was a haul to get out there, too. It just was. So if you're from Detroit, I'm speaking truths, right? That place was not a palatial garden. They blew up the one in Atlanta, too, a couple weeks ago. But it's always fun to see buildings taken down like that. One last thought, and while everything's been going on with Ray Anderson and Herm Edwards and Todd Graham. The Cardinals season has dissipated into what it is now, which is, you know, getting in position for next year's draft. Quietly, the Diamondbacks are sitting there with the J.D. Martinez negotiations. And I'm of the opinion that within the next week, that is going to finish itself out, maybe even this weekend. Just going off of what I'm hearing. And I don't know if he's going to come back or not, but I think we're going to have some resolution on that. That's the next big sports story to hit here in the Valley. Tonight, a couple of college basketball games. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.